We do want to welcome those who are on Facebook Live this morning, and we just wanted to share a few things about that, and just a couple of things briefly that we have our in-person services, and we also are going on Facebook, which we are streaming live via the internet up there. And so just wanted to make you all aware of that's something that is exciting that's happening. We're reaching many people with that, other people who could not come, or maybe even people that are all the way across the country. So we want to welcome those of you who are on Facebook with us, worshiping with us together. So it's exciting to use technology, exciting to tap into the technology that we have. So many fun things that I receive. Some people are writing in and chatting in and saying that they're watching from a distance, watching from afar, never been to our church before, but they're still here with us today worshiping together. So it's such a fun thing, such a neat thing as well. So we do want to welcome those people who are online ministering with us and worshiping with us together. So as we are finding ourselves in this sermon series of the Ten Commandments, we are moving our way through the 10, and we are on number 4. So hopefully this has been exciting for you. It's exciting for me. I love preaching on the 10 Commandments. It's one of those things where you go through it and you think, well, are these really applicable to our everyday lives? I mean, this was given to the Israelites, thousands and thousands of years ago. And so are they applicable to our lives today? Is the 10 Commandments a text that is just ancient and old, and are they truly for us? And so as we discover, as we walk through the 10, I'm telling you, we answer that question with a resounding yes, they are relevant to us today. And so let's take a look. I think we've got those pictures that I want us to help us memorize the 10 Commandments. This is, again, if you've missed this, this is second grade stuff. So I'm not trying to challenge your intellect. This is how I learn through pictures. This is how we learn. And so let's just kind of go through them. Number one, you shouldn't have any other gods before him. That's number one. That's like the number one prize is God. We shouldn't have anybody else, no other gods. Number two, you see the guy bowing down to an idol in the shape of a 2. So this is there to help us memorize these. So number two is you shouldn't bow down to any idols. We should not have any idols in our lives. Nothing. We are to worship but God and God alone. Okay, and so as we move forward, we understand that we go through the third one, and it's like, hey, their number 3 is in form of a lips. We shouldn't take the name of God in vain. See the number 3 in the lips, the red lips there? You shouldn't take the name of God in vain. And what we talked about last week is not just using God as a cuss word. That's not really what we're wrapped up into. But taking God's name as a Christian in vain. Saying that you are being Christ-like and living differently is taking God's name in vain. Understanding and saying, I want to be I'm a churchgoer, I'm a godly person, I'm a follower of Christ, but yet living differently from Monday through Saturday is taking the Lord's name in vain, and it's misusing God, and that's number 3. And so today we're going to talk about the fourth one. The fourth one is, this is kind of a hard one, I think, that he had, in my opinion, problems illustrating. So he took the Bible and he kind of make a little spider web, and it kind of makes the number 4. And so that is talking, today we're going to be talking about not misusing the Sabbath, making sure we keep a Sabbath day holy, making sure that we honor God and understand what that means. And so if you want to take a look at the Bible today, we're finding this passage in Exodus chapter 20, and it says this: "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves carved images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water found in the earth." Verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And so, visiting the iniquity of your fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Verse 6, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord, not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, as we read that fourth one, talking about the Sabbath day rest, there's so much that we want to unpack here. So much I want to unpack and making sure that we understand what the Scripture is saying here. This word hallowed, this is maybe like the King James English of hallowed. This word hallow is called made holy. It's a consecration of something. It's the synonyms can be include holy, sacred, consecrated, sanctified. We all heard those big churchy words before. But simply, we are to take one day of the week and consecrate or sanctify or set apart for it to be holy. You see, the way people observe Sunday, we think of Sunday as the Sabbath. We think of Sunday as that holy day in which we celebrate and we honor God. The way people observe Sunday has changed over several generations. Our great-grandfathers used to call it the Holy Sabbath. Anybody remember that one? Maybe you don't want to admit. The Holy Sabbath day. Our grandfathers called it the Sabbath. Our fathers called it Sunday, but we today call it the weekend, right? Or I've heard it say, Sunday fun day, fun day, fun day, fun day, right? We've taken this holy Sabbath day, the time in which we're to set apart, to sanctify, to consecrate, and we simply reduced it just to the weekend. Let's go. Sunday fun day, baby. Right? Let's go. It's football. It's getting on the boat, going away, going fishing, going to the cabin, whatever it is, Sunday fun day. That's what we've reduced the Sabbath day to. Now, in the fourth commandment, God gives these instructions about observing one day of the week. It's more than just the weekend. It's remembering the Sabbath day. So is this relevant for us today? Our culture says no. It just is like, no, it's Sunday is just whatever. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have any relevance today. Every day is the same as the next. You know, our culture says there's nothing special. It's just another day to work, another day to get something done. And I know it may be a little different in our community, but if you go to the big city, it's like you wouldn't think anything different that it's Sunday. That there's no rest. It's just another day to get things done, but you just get to wear jeans at the office. Trust me, it happens. You know, these guys and gals, they go in their finest suits. They have to dress up and, you know, from Monday through Friday. But Saturday and Sunday comes, and you just get to wear jeans, but you still are working. You're still sitting in front of your computer. You're still getting something done. You see, our society says there's nothing relevant to having a rest. You see, this commandment is relevant to us. It's significant, and it's my purpose today to allow us to open our hearts and minds to understanding what the Sabbath rest is all about, because we are still God's people. God still commands us to do this in the fourth commandment. You see, the letter of the law might not apply necessarily as it used to in the Old Testament, but the principle of the law is just as valid and relevant today as it was when God gave it to Moses. You see, it's not that we are bound by the law. We are no longer held responsible as they were back in Moses' day of not obeying the Ten Commandments. Because you see, as I'll talk about in a little bit, you could be put to death if you disobeyed one of the commandments. So we're not bound by the law any longer. But yet the principle of the law is just as valid and relevant today. And so we observe Sunday as the Sabbath, the first day of the week as we set it apart for God's purpose. Because back in the New Testament, when Jesus rose from the grave, it was on a Sunday. It was the first day of the week. You see, our work ethic in our culture today is to work 12 to 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we say the first day of the week is we have observed as the Sabbath day. Now, understanding that that God realizes that we need rest. God himself had to rest after creating everything. He understands the most how our human body works. Is that there's no way we could simply work 7 days a week. 7 days a week, 7 days a week. We need a rest. The human body just cannot tolerate that repeated abuse. And so we've got to keep this day holy. You know, we think that God is telling us, we assume that God is telling us to keep this day holy so that we can rest and relax. You see, we want to be sure that we understand to keep the Sabbath holy. We do all of our work in 6 days, and God wants us to devote one day each week to remain holy. So which one is it? I mean, are we to rest or are we to keep it holy? Are we to honor God and keep this a holy day, or are we to rest and relax? I say it's both. It's the understanding that we're not to work, we're not to do what we always do on that day, but we need to stop and we need to worship. We need to stop and reflect, stop and give praise to God for what he has done. And so we think God himself had to rest from creation. Do you think God needed to rest? I don't think so. I don't think God needed to rest. I believe God showed us, as an example, to rest. God didn't have to. God is God. He's the creator of everything. I don't think he got tired. I think he was showing us as an example. He gave himself as the example to follow because he knows we need a break. So the Sabbath is this symbol. A Sabbath is this symbol for us to be set apart than the world around us. If you think about it, those people who you know maybe not be Christians, they don't recognize a Sabbath, they don't recognize a day of rest. But for us Christians, it's meant to be another thing as a symbol for us to understand that, wow, they really take their God seriously. It's Sunday, or it may be their day of the week to rest, and they're honoring him in such a way. How about you? Have you ever done that before? Somebody asked you to go do something, or maybe your work called and said, hey, you got to come in and I need you to work. And you're like, you know what? It's my religious privilege. It's my religious privilege, my godly right to say no. Because I've been working 6 days already. I can't possibly work seven because it would go against my relationship with God. Don't you think that would separate you apart? Would people call you crazy? Yeah. Would your boss potentially fire you because of your religion? Yeah. Would it set you apart in the fact that, wow, look at that person. They're so worried about their relationship with God, they gave up money. They gave up work. Many of you know my wife owns a cleaning business, and it's something that the Lord has blessed us with different people and different clients. And we've had plenty of opportunities. We'd get a phone call. And Rachel would answer the phone call, and this client would ask, hey, we need you to do this. It's good money. It's big money, but it requires work on Sunday. And Rachel really never really had to think about it, although she thought twice, but never had to realize it to say, no, we don't need money that bad. God is our provider, not the business. And so we've lost a lot of money because we've said no. I'm not standing here to say that we're so amazing or we're boasting, but I'm just showing you as an example, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no because God is our provider. We don't need anybody else to provide for us. And we've lost out on so many opportunities to work, but we've had to say no. Especially in the cleaning business. It's everybody's in the offices, right? Monday through Saturday and sometimes Sunday. But Sunday is the time where usually the office is empty and they want the cleaning companies to come in, and you get the idea. We've missed out on a lot of money. But we've decided to say, we are set apart for God's purpose. One day in seven is set aside for God's holy purpose. And we want to set ourselves apart as honoring to our God. And so, do we want blessing in our lives? I think we'd all say yes. We would always want God's blessing upon our lives. And so when we understand God's principles, we like God's principles when it comes to money, right? When it comes to tithing or giving, we understand like, well, yeah, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give, because God blesses us in return. It's not necessarily why we give, let's hope not, but it's the understanding that God's principles are there for us to obey and understand. So don't you think God's blessings and principles would apply with the Sabbath day? The answer is yes. Do you want to get more done in a week? Take a Sabbath. Do you want to be more prosperous in your work? Take a Sabbath. Do you want to be more effective in the office? 6 days in the week, take a rest. Do you want to get more hay put up? Take a Sabbath rest. You see, there's a godly principle there, you guys. There's a godly principle. Oh, but wait, the hay has to get, we got to make hay, right? We got to do it. I don't care if it's Sunday, we got to make hay. Baloney. That's a nice way of saying it. Set yourself apart. Don't you think your horses will eat? Don't you think your cows will eat? Don't you think your livestock will eat? Because if you put it in God's hands, we say, you know what? It's Sunday, I am not working. We honor the Sabbath. And I'm telling you, your barns will be full. You see, the principle of taking a Sabbath is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one. It's one of those where when you honor God with your life, with your time, with your energy, with your effort, He will honor you as well. I mean, I'm telling you, there's days where I have to, I mean, I'm going to get into this in just a minute, but there's times where on Sunday afternoons, most times, all the time, on Sunday afternoons, Rachel and I are constantly asking each other, should we be doing this? Make it culture in your household. Make it a culture in your home. Should we be doing this? And what is the this? Dishes. Everyone's like, oh, cool. Dishes. It's dishes are a constant chore in our house. Anybody have that problem? With there's five of us in the house, we've got three messy boys, and I'm not the cleanest person in the world. Dishes are always a problem. And so on a Sunday afternoon, when you see a mountain full of dishes, we have to ask ourselves, would it be honoring to God by doing these dishes? Now, I'm not saying that you're in sin if you do dishes on Sunday. That's that gray area for you. But ask yourselves, oh, Holy Spirit, is it something that I just want to get something done because this is the only time of the week I have to do it. This is the only time of the day. I got to get that laundry done. I've got to get the dishes done and this, and this. Is that honoring to God and making it holy and setting it apart from any other day? The answer is no. You see, I'm not preaching this stuff because I think it's a good idea. I'm preaching this stuff because I believe in it wholeheartedly because it's the Word of God. If this is convicting to you, if I'm stepping on your toes, I'm not sorry because I believe this is the Word of God. And so the Sabbath day needs to be holy. So if there's something that you do 6 days of the week, don't do it on the Sabbath. Cut it out of your life. Honor God by that. And it may be dishes. It may be working. It may be putting up hay. It may be, you get my point. The point is honor God with the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it holy. So we talk about what day of the week. Let's kind of go back historically. In the Old Testament context, the day was Saturday. The Sabbath day was meant to be on the Saturday, the seventh day of the week. In the New Testament, that it becomes Sunday because the first day of the week and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's clear from the scriptures that Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. I'll just read it really quick, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. So we see Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week because it was the day after the Sabbath. So Old Testament, they believed that the Sabbath was Saturday. In the New Testament, we as Christians have decided to say, we're going to honor God and worship him on Sunday. Literally, it was that after the week at dawn on the first day. As the first century began meeting together, they met every day in the temple courts and from house to house. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You see, so by the end of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, if you're writing all these down, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, it talks about them getting together. So again, on a Sunday. So Old Testament, it was the Sabbath was on a Saturday. New Testament, the Sabbath was on a Sunday. Guess what? I don't think God cares which day of the week, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday. He simply says, take one day and make it holy. One day of rest. Don't do the stuff that you should be doing throughout all the other 6 days. Make it holy. This is where I find this principle at work. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul writes this. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So Paul is recognizing the fact that the early church is freaking out about what day of the week they should be worshiping on. You see, Paul is recognizing the fact that the early church is fighting and arguing about what day the Sabbath should be. And Paul simply says, quit arguing about it, you guys. Don't let anybody condemn you for celebrating the Sabbath on a Saturday or a Sunday. And so for me, that argument is moot. Because God just says, set apart one day of the week. Jesus, in fact, Jesus was called out about the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 through 28. Jesus said to them, this is where Jesus and his disciples are walking through the wheat field. You remember the story? And Jesus decides to just pluck a piece of wheat and pop it in his mouth. And the teachers of the law, they were like, wait a minute, oh my goodness. Doesn't the Bible say in the law somewhere that you shouldn't pick or harvest grain on the Sabbath? I mean, come on, right? This is called legalism, you guys. This is called legalism. So Jesus plucked a piece of wheat and ate it, and then they're like, oh, look, hey, Sabbath police, Sabbath police. And then Jesus replies, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Not just because that's what you're supposed to say. I really love how he's just awesome. Listen to what he says. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 through 28. Then Jesus said to them, Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Other translations say Sabbath is not made for man, man for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man. You see, what a Sabbath is for us. Sabbath is for us. That rest, that holy time. So in other words, the specific day of worship is not the important thing to God. The specific, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, is not the important thing. What is that we set aside regular times of worship and set aside and sanctify one day of seven for rest. So am I kicking a dead horse this morning? Are you getting it, I hope? Do you understand? I mean, I can be a little bit passionate about this because I believe that 21st century Christians are missing out on blessings of the Lord. I believe that we've blended in with the world so much that nobody realizes you're a Christian because we've taken our beliefs and our commandments that God set forth and we've decided to dust them aside and say, that's really not applying to me today. If you want your life to be blessed, if you want your life to be full, if you want to have productivity, and I'm not saying this is the, hear me out, it's the fourth commandment. Just take rest. Make it holy. Set it apart. God made the Sabbath for you and for me. It's intended to be a blessing, not a burden. We don't want to be legalistic. We don't want to go out. There's not a Dighton Wesleyan Sabbath police. We're not meant to point the finger at each other to say, oh, they're horrible people because they're doing this or that. No, it's meant for you. And we say, thanks be to God. God loves you. He created you. He cares for you. Worship team, come on up. Let's land this plane. We're circling the airport. I want you to understand that we are not bound by the law, but yet we are proclaiming the Sabbath and being set apart, keeping it holy. All God wants us to do is take a break from our regular work each week and do what refreshes us, what recreates us, right? Recreates us. Therefore, that word recreation. There's things that's okay to do as long as it's not work. Is it okay to go fishing? And is it okay to do that on Sunday? Absolutely. If that refreshes you, let's honor that and give thanks to God. I hope that I have not misspoke this morning. I want you to hear my heart. That I want us to be a people that are set apart from God. I'm sorry, set apart from the world and honoring God. Set apart from all of the stuff that the world loves to envelop. So let's be sanctified Christians. Sanctified holy. And understand the fourth commandment. Obey the fourth commandment. We could probably talk for hours and hours on what is right, what is wrong, and I'm not talking about that. I'm saying what is sin for you may not be sin for somebody else, but it could be sin nonetheless. If you're trying to get in extra hours at work, if you're trying to sneak in certain things that you just did not have time this week to get done, if you're trying to sneak it in and say, oh, God will understand, really? Let's honor the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Let's stand together. Ask the Holy Spirit right where you are. Ask the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do it for you. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. He can hear you. He knows you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly your situation. Ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, convict you, teach you, train you, rebuke you in righteousness if that's what you want. If that's what you desire, if you desire to live a godly, holy, sanctified life, set apart from everybody else in the world, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Say, God, if there's anything that's in me that I'm doing wrong, if I'm not honoring number four, just convict me. I mean, if it's like doing the dishes and cutting the grass on Sunday is sin for you, God, convict me. I mean, that's my prayer. Lord, I don't want to be found doing something wrong. I want to make sure that I'm honoring you in everything that I do. So God, Holy Spirit, convict me. Convict me. So pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. God, if there's something that I need to change, if there's something within the Sabbath that I'm not keeping holy, convict my heart, set me apart, make me afresh and new. Forgive me by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ so that I may be set free. That I may be set free by grace. But pray that prayer today.